vertical. Man, you guys look good. How we feeling? Well, you guys can take a seat or, well, sit on the grass. My name's Maddie. I'm super excited to be here. This is my people here. I mean, I'm living in Waco, Texas now. You guys are my people. Come on. I have to be real with y'all. My allergies have been going crazy since being out here, so I've been coughing nonstop. So if I start having a cough attack, just know I might be calling up my husband to come up and finish this message. And I know he's ready because we're one, and so he knows what I'm going to be sharing and speaking. And speaking of my amazing husband, we have been married for almost a year. We're coming up on our, you guys can give it up. We're coming up on our 1 year anniversary. And we've also been living in Waco, Texas for almost a year. We moved here right when we got back from our honeymoon, and we moved into a home here in Waco, and this was our first time, you know, having our own home. We've always lived with a roommate or we lived with our families, and now we're moving into this home. Neither of us know how to manage a home, y'all. We don't know what we're doing. I don't know if they teach that in school now, but they didn't teach that to us when we were going through school. And so we moved into our home, and it felt like we didn't know how to do anything, changing the air filters, changing the filter on like the refrigerator. We were like, what are we doing? And there seemed to be one problem after another. We couldn't catch a break. There was mold. Then there was grout in our drains. Our drains would be overflowing. And it was just one problem after another. But there was this one problem that outweighed all the rest of the problems. And the problem about this problem is that we couldn't figure out what the problem was. Y'all ever been there? I mean, we knew that it was a problem because of the way that it was affecting our health. Every time we would walk into our home, we would be hit with this brain fog and nausea and fatigue. And so we knew there was something going on in our home, but we couldn't figure out what it was. And so we called these specialists to come over and check the water, check the air, and nobody could figure out what was going on. We even had to stay in a hotel for a few nights just to get a break. But as soon as we'd come back home, again, we'd get hit with it. And so we called our plumber to come over and to check and see if he could find anything. He comes out with his little gas leak detector thingy, and he starts walking around the house. And as soon as he steps into the living room, it starts going crazy. And I look at him and I'm like, what does that mean? And he's like, yeah, ma'am, you have a gas leak. And he's like, good thing it didn't catch wind with any of these candles or your whole house could have just, you know, burst into flames. I'm like, oh, great. Praise God. That's good. That's comforting to know. But how did we have a gas leak and we had no idea? He went on to explain that the gas was methane, and so you couldn't smell it and you couldn't see it, but yet it was just slowly affecting us and killing us. I started looking up on Google long-term, you know, effects to gas leak. Don't ever do that. It was not good results. And I called Grant. I'm crying. I'm like, we have a gas leak. What are we gonna do? He's like, calm down. Let me talk to the plumber. And we talked to the plumber, and he's like, well, do you want us to fix it? We're like, yes, please fix the gas leak. And I start with this story. And the reason I share this with you is because just like this gas leak, there are some of you here tonight who have been living with things that have just been slowly killing you. Slowly killing you, sucking the life out of you. And maybe you've just accepted it. I'm just stuck. I'm just bound. This is just how it is. And so tonight I titled this message, Breaking Free from What's Breaking You. Have you ever felt, how do I break free from shame, from anxiety, from depression, from comparison, from self-hatred, from suicidal thoughts, from eating disorder, from pornography, from masturbation? Have you ever asked yourself those questions? How do I break free from that thing that I said I would never do again, but yet now I find myself doing it again? Have you found yourself at that place? Today, we're going to be talking about what has been keeping you bound and how you can break free and actually stay free. We're going to be bouncing back from Galatians 5 and to Genesis 3. We're going to be a little bit all over the map, so hang with me, but I promise it goes all together. And our theme verse is going to be Galatians 5, verse 1. And just to give you some context, Paul is writing to a group of people who have been trying to find freedom in all of the wrong things. He's talking to this one group and he's saying, hey, freedom is not found in indulging in your flesh and following the world and following culture and following your feelings. That's not where you're gonna find freedom. And then he's talking to this other group of people and he's saying, hey, freedom is not found in religion and your works and your efforts and your traditions and how your parents raised you. That's not where freedom's found either. And we pick up in Galatians 5, verse 1, and it says, at last we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. We must always cherish this truth and firmly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. What's ironic is we see today the things that keep us bound is actually what we see with the very first two human beings that God created. We're going to now go to Genesis chapter 3. And to set the scene for you here, God just got done creating the light and the darkness, the animals, the birds, the fish in the water, and then we get into the humans, and that's where we come in. God created mankind in his own image. But then we're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 3, and right before this moment, God had given Adam the command not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If he were to eat from its fruit, he would surely die. Adam goes then to tell Eve, and then we're going to pick up here. It says in verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The first thing that we see here, what keeps you and I bound, first is Satan's lies. Satan's lies keep us bound. We see from the very beginning of time, Satan comes in lying and deceiving. And all throughout scripture, he is known as an accuser, as a thief, as the father of lies who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. As a culture, we have bought a lie. As a world, we have bought a lie on where freedom is found. Oh, you don't like who you are? You don't like how God made you? You don't like your identity? Change it. You don't like what you're attracted to? Change it. We've bought a lie from the enemy on what freedom looks like. I can do whatever I want and nothing will happen to me. No consequences will come. The enemy has lied to us. And not just as a culture, but you as an individual, he has come whispering lies in your ear. Even you tonight have walked into here, I'm sure, with some lies that you've been believing. And so I ask you, what lie are you believing right now? About yourself? About God? Is it, I'm unworthy? I'll never be enough. I'm damaged goods. I'm too far gone. God could never use me. No one will ever choose me first. I'll never be wanted. What is the lie you're believing right now? I've struggled with this all throughout my life. Even in high school, middle school, I had, you know, girls in the grade above me that would bully me and pick on me and speak all of these lies and hurtful comments to me, and I would start to believe them. I would take on that identity. Oh, maybe I'm really not enough. Maybe they're right. And to be completely transparent with you, even A few hours before being up here, I was believing some lies. Maddie, you'll never be good enough. No matter how hard you strive, no matter how hard you try, you'll never be enough. You'll never belong. You'll never be accepted. No one will ever understand you for who you truly are. You'll always be enslaved to the opinions of people, and you'll only be as good as what they say you are. Those are some of the lies I was believing a few hours ago. And the thing about lies is they can feel like truth. And you want to know why? Because Satan is real. Demons are real. Darkness is real. Spiritual warfare is real. And I think there's a temptation for you and I to believe that Satan is the torchy's mascot that looks like an animated character with horns and a pitchfork. And all the meanwhile, Satan is working full time to steal your identity, to kill your purpose, and to completely destroy your relationship with God and people. He's coming after you. And many of us are believing lies from the enemy right now. We're going to continue reading in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. The second point, the second thing that keeps you and I bound is sin. You know the crazy thing about sin is that it looks good. Notice how it was described, pleasing to the eye, good for food, desirable for gaining wisdom. It looks good, it looks attractive, but it ends up costing you everything. One of my favorite quotes about sin is that sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you were willing to pay. What sin are you carrying right now that is slowly killing you? This past summer, I went to the beach with some of my best friends, and we were so excited to go to the beach in Florida because, I'm sorry, I'll say it, there's no good beaches here in Texas. So I was excited to go to Florida, and we pull up to the beach, and we notice that there's a pole with two double red flags, you know, buried in the sand, indicating that, you know, we can't get in the water. We can't swim. The water is dangerous. We were a little bummed. We were like, okay, it's fine. We'll just lay out. It's not a big deal. And so we're laying out, and then we start to notice something interesting, that a couple people start to make their way towards the water. And they start in, and it's ankle deep, and they're having fun. They're splishing, they're splashing, they're laughing, they're blaring their music. They're having a great time. And then there was this one lifeguard on duty, and he was running back and forth, and he was telling everybody, hey, get out of the water, get out of the water. It's dangerous. And I was just watching all this take place, and the people would get out of the water, and they'd go back to their seats and where they were, you know, laying down. And then next thing I know, about 15, 20 minutes later, it's like they grabbed some friends and they went right back to the water. And again, they started ankle deep, and then they took it a little bit deeper, and now it's up to their knees, and I see this lifeguard starts to panic, and he gets up in his lifeguard stand. He grabs his megaphone and he's like, please get out of the water. Get out of the water. I know it looks fun. I know it looks good. I know you're having fun right now, but it will kill you. I just want what's best for you. Please get out of the water. And man, in that moment, I got hit with the Holy Spirit. I pulled out my phone. I started writing it down, and it's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Maddie, this is what sin is. This is what sin does. It looks fun. And you get ankle deep, and you're like, man, this isn't that big of a deal. What are they even talking about? Like, the people who are sitting back there on the beach, they're the losers. They're missing out. This is a good time. The water feels good. It's refreshing. And then they go a little bit deeper in the water, and now it's past their knees. All of a sudden, they're starting to feel the weight a little bit, but they got their friends next to them, and they're like, hey, I'm still in control. This is still what's up. This is still good. And next thing you know, a wave comes takes them out, takes them under, traps them. They can't breathe. It takes their life. It costs them everything. Proverbs 14:12 puts it this way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Just like in Genesis, God tells them, don't eat this fruit. It's deadly. Sin binds you and it slowly begins to kill you. We continue reading in 7 through 10, and it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord called to man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. I want you to see it started with a lie. It gave birth to sin, and the next thing that follows is shame. The third thing that keeps us bound is shame. Shame makes us want to hide. Shame is usually created from a sin that we commit or a sin that's been committed against us. And it says, because of what I've done and because of what's been done to me, I'll never be enough. I'll never get unstuck. There have been many moments in my life. Maybe it was walking in secret sin. Maybe it was going places I knew I shouldn't go or hanging out with people I knew I shouldn't be hanging out with, where I carried shame. Or maybe it was something outside of my control. Maybe it was getting cheated on. Maybe it was getting rejected, or maybe it was getting taken advantage of, and I carried shame. What is that for you right now? What's making you want to hide from God? Shame can become our identity and keep us bound. Continue reading. He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? Who told you that? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put me here with, she gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate it. I think that's pretty funny. The woman you put me here with, God, I want you to notice his response. Immediate blame. Hey, it's your fault, God. Hey, it's her fault, God. It started with a lie. It gave birth to sin. It led to shame. And ultimately, the last thing that keeps us bound is separation. Separation. Notice that after shame followed this separation, Adam and Eve were not just separated between them and God, but they were separated between each other. And that's what happens when we fall for the enemy's lie and we give in to sin, is it creates separation between us and God and each other. And this is exactly where the enemy wants you, separated, isolated, alone. That's where he keeps winning. And maybe you're like, Maddie, I feel all of those things. I think I have struggled with those things. I find myself here tonight battling with those things. One of them, all of them, yeah, that's me. And breaking free feels pretty impossible. Well, to be honest with you, breaking free on your own is impossible. Breaking free with all you got is impossible. Romans 6:23 puts it this way, for the wages of sin is death. Your greatest work, your greatest efforts, your best reputation, your greatest church attendance record, your family's upbringing and traditions, everything you got cannot break you free. If it's up to you, you won't get free. I'm the oldest of three girls. I have two younger sisters. I've always been super close with my sisters, especially my baby sister. She was always the one I was so protective over. If someone would even just give her the wrong look, I was like ready to fight. And I've always been super, super close with them. And I remember About a year and a half ago, I get a call from my mom in the middle of the night. It was about 3 a.m., and she obviously doesn't usually call me at that time, so I answer confused. She's crying, and she begins to explain to me, "Your little sister Mary has just been arrested. She just got pulled over, and they arrested her for a DUI, and the cop said, 'If I wouldn't have pulled her over, ma'am, she wouldn't have made it. She was that intoxicated.'" And my mom went on to explain she's now in jail, and I'm just trying to process this. My baby sister, what do you mean, my baby sister? And I'm asking my mom all these questions, and I'm like, okay, so she's in jail. How do we get her out? Do I need to fly home? What do we need to do? My mom was like, "That's the thing. I asked the cop, and he said, no, she has to stay here overnight. She has to be here for at least 24 hours, and then someone can come and bail her out." And then I just broke. I started crying, and I was like, I can only imagine my little sister sitting in jail just crying and being like, how did I get here? How did I get here? Who have I become? What have I done? What will other people think about me? And then I imagine her getting to this place where she starts pacing in the jail cell, and she's like banging on the walls, and she's like, "Hey, how do I get out? Let me out. I promise I won't do it again. Let me out. What do I need to do? I'll do it." And they're like, "Sorry, ma'am, it doesn't work that way." And I imagine her having this moment and this realization of like, okay, I can't get myself out. But you know what the crazy thing is? What the awesome thing is that she knew the one who could. She knew it would take her father to come and bail her out and pay the price that she couldn't pay, to break her out of that prison that she was sitting in, that she couldn't get out on her own. That's the gospel, y'all. We're all in that jail cell, every single one of us. If it were up to us, death would be our destiny. But because of Jesus, I want to read to you Ephesians 2, 3 through 5. It's one of my favorite passages in scripture, and it says, "All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. It is by grace you have been saved." It's by grace alone. It's in Jesus alone. It's not in your religion. It's not in your efforts. It's not in you following your feelings. It's Jesus alone that gets you and I free. That day that Mary Michael, my youngest sister, got bailed out of jail, the crazy thing is she didn't just get free from physical bondage that day. Jesus met her in that jail cell, and she walked out a new woman. And just 1 year later, she went to Kona, Hawaii to be discipled and trained to be a missionary and a minister of the gospel. And she said, "Okay, since he set me free, now I'm on mission to go and set other people free. The same freedom that I've experienced that I didn't deserve, now I want to go and tell everyone about it." She began boasting in the very things that kept her bound because she had been set free. And maybe the reasons that some of you are stuck and enslaved is because you're trying to get free on your own. I have good news for you. You can't get free on your own, but that's good news, because on your own, you are deserving of death. But because of Jesus, you and I get to be made new in Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, you and I get to be made new and whole and set free. We get to live life abundantly and to the fullest. That's what you and I have promised because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Again, Galatians 5:1 reminds us, you have been set free, so stand firm and do not return back and be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go back. And maybe you're saying, but how? Maddie, that sounds great, but how? The temptations, the pressures, my cravings, my feelings, how do I get free? We keep reading in Galatians because it gives us our answer. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And it goes on to say, keep in step with the Spirit. You and I, we get set free by the blood of Jesus, but you and I stay free by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to give you, as we wrap up, just some four practical ways that has really helped me stay in step with the Holy Spirit. And because I'm running out of time, I'm looking at my clock right now, I'm running out of time, so I'm really going to focus on two out of the four. But the first one is prayer keeps us free. And when I say prayer, I really just mean abiding, communing, getting before God, saying, I can't do this without you. I need you, Holy Spirit, to help me stand firm, to tell me who I am, and to help me overcome the lies of the enemy and the temptations around me. Let the first thing that you do when you wake up be to hit your knees and get before God and say, I need you. Get in God's word. Abide in God's word. Know the truth. The Bible says it's the truth that sets us free. You remember that question I asked you earlier when I said, hey, what lie are you believing right now? You want to know the way you defeat that lie, you overcome that lie, is you look that lie in the face and you say, hey, I hear you, but this is what my God, this is what my God's word says, and I choose to believe this, and I choose to speak this. And you look that lie in the face and you begin to speak truth to it. And I promise you, you'll experience freedom. The second thing that keeps you and I free is purity. Purity keeps us free. And maybe some of you are rolling your eyes and you're like, oh, I've heard that before. I promise you, purity is not a command by God to withhold from you. It's a command by God to protect you, to give you peace, to give you joy, to give you freedom that God wants you to experience, but you cannot experience it if you choose to say, God, I'll follow you, but I'm gonna ignore that command. That command's a little too hard, God, so I'm gonna choose to overlook it. Purity puts us before God. When I was 13 years old, I got invited to come over to a friend's house, and she turned on this show while we were hanging out, and I began to watch it, and there were all of these nude scenes and these sexual scenes, and I had never seen anything like this before. And part of me, the Holy Spirit, was like, turn away, flee, run, get out of there, tell her to turn it off. But the other part of me was interested. Huh. My body's never felt this before. I've never seen that before. What do they do? And I was interested, and it started this itch. And I left there different, like an innocence had been stolen. I left there different, like I wanted to know more. Have you guys ever heard, you're not supposed to scratch a bug bite, because if you scratch a bug bite, it could spread to infection, or it could lead to something a lot more dangerous. It felt like I had got a bug bite, and I wanted to keep itching. And you know the thing about bug bites is when you start itching, those first few moments, man, they feel good. You're like, man, that's relief right there. That feels nice. But then it ends up costing you a lot more than you expected. And in the same way, I am begging you. I'll get on my hands and knees. I will beg if I am begging you, please pursue purity. I'll be that lifeguard who gets the megaphone and gets on the stand and says, please, please don't get in the water. Don't get in the water. I want what's best for you. I want what's best for you. I tried dipping my toes in. I tried getting knee length deep. I tried it. And you know what? It cost me way more than it gave me. I want what's best for you. God wants what's best for you. How do you walk in freedom? You pursue purity. The third thing that keeps us free and bouncing off that last point is people. People keep us free. And for some of you, your next step tonight is just finding someone that you trust, and you trust their relationship with God, and you confess that thing you've been holding on to. You confess that thing that you've been keeping in the dark for far too long, that you felt, if I were to tell someone this, they would see me differently. Tonight, I don't want any of you to leave without finding someone and confessing. Maybe it's a lie you've been believing. Maybe it's a sin you're entangled in. Maybe it's shame you've been carrying. Whatever it is, find someone and confess. There's power in community. There's power in confession, and there's power in prayer. But when I say people keep us free, I want to be very clear, the right kind of people keep you free. You can't expect freedom if you choose to do life with a bunch of bound people. It matters who you surround yourself with. Your environment, your community matters. People will make or break you. They will push you closer to Jesus or further away from Jesus. Your people matter. You are becoming like those that you surround yourself with. Proverbs 13:20 puts it this way: be friends with those who are wise, and you will also become wise. But choose fools as friends, and you will have trouble. Warning us to be wise with the people that we do life with. You know what changed the game for me when I struggled with secret sin and I carried shame for so long, and I felt like, oh, this isn't something I should be struggling with. This is a guy's struggle. This isn't something I should be struggling with, and I carried this shame. But then I found someone that I confessed to. And it's like in that moment, chains started to break. I started to feel lighter. I started to feel hope again, and I felt freedom. They prayed over me. They reminded me of truth, and they held me accountable. Finding the right people to do life with, confessing to, but also asking them to hold you accountable keeps you free. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The last thing that keeps us free is purpose. Purpose keeps us free. You see, you weren't just free from something. You are free for something. You haven't been just set free just for you to sit back comfortably and be like, oh, this freedom is so great. You've been set free to now go and set other people free. Like I shared about my sister earlier on, and it's my story too, the things that kept me bound for so long. Now I'm like, hey, I'm boasting in my weaknesses. I'm boasting in the things that used to keep me bound, because it points to God's power that he was able to save a wretch like me. He was able to set me free. And now I'm able to come before you and say, hey, here's the warnings. Here's the things to stay away from, because I've tried it. I've tried to find my value, my identity, my purpose, my worth, my freedom in the things of this world. I've tried. I've tried to find it in a relationship status, in Instagram followers, in the opinions of people. And you know where it left me? Empty, unsatisfied, never content. But just like scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Following him, going all in with him, and walking in step with him day in and day out is the best decision I've ever made. You know, I started with that gas leak story when my husband and I moved into our first home and we found out we had the gas leak. You know what would have been crazy? Is if that plumber looked at us and he was like, hey, here's the problem. Do you guys want me to fix it? And we say, no, it's fine. It's fine. You don't have to, don't worry about it. You don't have to fix it. Now we've identified what the problem was. We're fine. That would have been crazy. And some of you right now, right here, the Holy Spirit is speaking something to you. He's brought something up and he said, hey, you need to get free from this. Maybe you need to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to break free from sexual sin. Maybe you need to confess to a friend. Maybe you need to stop being defined by the shame of your past. Whatever it is, God has laid something on your heart, and now it's time for you to do something about it. Don't let the problem stay the problem. Don't just identify it and do nothing about it. Now is your time. The ball is in your court. The Holy Spirit wants to set you free and wants to keep you free, but it's up to you. What will you do? What will you do? He wants to use you. He wants to use you for a greater purpose than you could ever imagine. I don't care what lies have been spoken to you. I don't care what's happened to you, what other people have done to you. The Lord is coming to redefine you and to remind you of what He has in store for you. You just gotta let Him. You just gotta let Him. I'm gonna pray in a second, but after I finish praying, the band's gonna come back up. Passion's gonna play a few more songs. But there's also gonna be a prayer team lined up on each side of the field. And I want you to take this time seriously. I don't want this to be another worship service, another gathering, and you just leave and nothing changed. Don't let this be another night. Don't let this be another night. I want this to be a moment when we're worshiping for you to either find someone next to you, someone of the same gender, someone you love and trust, and I want you to confess to them. Or I want you to find someone who's lined up on each side of the field, and I want you to find them and I want you to confess to them. And then I want them to pray over you, like James 5:16 says, that is where freedom and healing takes place. Bring it into the light. The enemy keeps winning. The longer you keep it in darkness, bring it into the light. I'm begging you, bring it into the light. Bow your heads with me. Lord, you are so good. You are so good, and we so don't deserve your love and your kindness. We don't deserve your mercy. We did nothing to earn it. But yet you freely gave it to us, Lord, and we receive it in fullness right now. And I want to pray for two different groups of people. First, I want to pray for those who haven't made Jesus their Lord and Savior. Maybe they've seen God. Maybe they've seen you as someone who's distant and judging them, someone that could never actually love them. Maybe you've just been someone who's a religious God and someone their parents have talked about before, but they don't actually know you. I lift up that group of people right now. And everyone under the sound of my voice, I pray that you would just repeat after me in your heart, or if you want to say it out loud, Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. I need you. I can't do this without you. I've chased all the things this world has, and it's left me empty and broken. I've come to this realization right here, right now. You are the only one that can satisfy. I need you, Lord. Save me. And then I want to pray for this other group of people who maybe have been bound by sin and shame, and you've been believing the enemy's lies for far too long. Lord, I lift them up to you, every individual under the sound of my voice. You see them, you love them, you care for them. Remind them of who they are right now. And I just break all the chains off of their life. I break generational curses off of their life. I pray that you would remind them that their past does not define them, that you have a future for them. I pray that you would push back darkness on their account, Lord, that you would bind the spirit that blinds their mind and keeps them from seeing you in fullness. And I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon every single person in this place, that we would leave changed. It's by your spirit and your word alone that we are changed and set free. So do what only you can do, Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.